So we also have to understand that we are, each one of us are missionaries, are soldiers of Srila Prabhupada. We have to think about helping people go back to Krishna, serving the paths and pastimes of the Lord. We don't want to miss devotional service because it's very simple, but because we are very complex, we miss it half of the time. And I asked this man, what is your profession? And he said he's a social worker. He works for home care. He's a supervisor for all the people who go and provide home care to a lot of elderly and old and mentally challenged people who are living alone. Imagine being mentally challenged, not having a sober, steel mind, and not to live alone. When people start harming themselves, so they have to make a report and bring people back. So I said, see, you know, that's his blueprint. So that's why he's attracted to that kind of a job, and that's why he's taking the pains to come down and help me. And then there's no place in the parking lot. He said, my car is parked over here. You need to go for your appointment. I'm going to park my car in the parking garage 3 blocks away. You take this pass. You park your car here. I said, no, it's okay. You know, you got to go for your work. I'll let the people know I'll come a little later for this appointment. I'm in an emergency. So he said, okay, I have a better idea. What is that? He allowed me to block 2 of his friends' cars. He called them up in their office, and he asked them if they were leaving anytime before 4 o'clock. They said no. So I parked, like, parallel, or rather, how do I say, those cars were perpendicular to the sidewalk, and I parked, I blocked them. They could not back out of the place. They were absolutely fine with that. When I came back, they were ready to come down and look at the car and see what went wrong with it. And I mean, for me, it was very, very embarrassing because I've heard so many lectures and, you know, we're associating with devotees, we're hearing it all the time, and I was just thinking, I don't extend myself like that. I'm very selective what I do. So I pray to the mercy of all the Vaishnavas on this call that I can develop the same mode. Going to text 19. Chaturhutram karma shuddham prajanam diksha vedikam vyadda vyadda santaye. Sorry, I didn't read that well. Vyadda vyadda santatyai vedanekam chaturvidham. Translation. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into 4 in order to expand them among men. So there was only one Veda first, Yajur Veda. But because, you know, and there were many divisions of sacrifices that were mentioned in the Vedas, and if people did those sacrifices, then they would be purified of their other activities. Gradually the mind would be purified, and their occupations and everything would be purified, and they will be situated in goodness. So therefore we must follow the dharmic principles properly. Because they are not something created by our family members or our elders to bother us and to irritate us. But they are elders and elder people in our family don't have answers to all the questions. So that's why we don't want to follow. But we have to understand they are at least in the mode of goodness. They are just following. We don't even follow. So it's important to follow the processes, the culture, because it is purifying to our mind and soul. We all need engagement. We need that religion to keep the mind intact. Otherwise, if you don't follow all those things in your house, your mind is going to be unregulated and go away. So that purification of the mind does not happen. So here we see that there was one Veda first. But then, to make them more easily performable, the sacrifice that we mentioned in that one particular Veda easily performable, the Veda was divided into 4 divisions of sacrifice just to purify the occupational service of the 4 orders. So that people can easily understand. There's a bigger explanation on that. Another time we can discuss it. But basically it was complex first, so it was supposed to be made simpler to understand so that people would follow it. So Vasudeva was thinking that Kali Yuga is coming, people are going to be deteriorating, you know, so let's make it even more simple for them so that they can access it and do those things. So above the 4 Vedas, namely the Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharva, so Yajur Veda was divided into 4. There are the Puranas, the Mahabharata, Samhitas, etc., which are known as the 5th Veda. Sri Vyasadeva and his many disciples were all historical personalities. And they were very kind and sympathetic towards the fallen souls of this age of Kali. As such, the Puranas and Mahabharatas were made from related historical facts, which explain the teaching of the 4 Vedas. Basically, the teachings of the 4 Vedas are there. So now the Puranas and Mahabharatas are basically historical facts which show those particular Vedic principles in action and how to do it. That is there in the Puranas and Mahabharata in story form. There is no point in doubting the authority of the Puranas and the Mahabharatas as parts and parcels of the Vedas. And they are also mentioned as the fifth Veda in the Chand Yoga Upanishad. So Sri Vyasa, Jiva Goswami also says that you must just follow and hear properly. That is a way of ascertaining the respective values of the revealed scriptures. Text 20. The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge were made separately. Same thing that Prabhupada has explained in the purport is being said in the translation. But the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Purana are called the fifth Veda. The reason he wrote the Mahabharata will be given next verse, and the purport covers part of the reason, not the next verse, the next few verses. There's a bigger reason for that. There's an inner reason for that also. Text 21. After the Vedas were divided into four divisions, Paila Rishi became the professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini the professor of the Sama Veda, and Ramsapayana alone became glorified by the Yajur Veda. So, he divided that one Veda into four Vedas, and then he entrusted the writing of those Vedas to his disciples like Paila Rishi, Jaimini Rishi, Ramsapayana, and then they were responsible for the development of those Vedas. So the Vedas were in Shruti form, Shruti and Shruti. Sorry, I'm getting confused here. So the Vedas were basically passed by memory and by the spoken word. But when Vyasadeva knew that as Kaliyuga will progress, people's memories will become short. So therefore, he took the work of writing everything down. And everything was written down according to time, place and circumstances. To help the people of Kaliyuga understand the complex message of the Vedas were simplified. The message and the essence was the same, but the language was simplified. And that work was done by all the disciples of Vyasadeva. Text 22. The Sumantu Muni Angira, who was very devotedly engaged, was entrusted with the Atharva Veda. And my father, so now this is being spoken by Sutta Goswami, so he is referring to his father. My father, Romaharshana, was entrusted with the Puranas and historical records. Another name for Sutta Goswami is also Romaharshana Sutta. Sutta means son. Son of Romaharshana was entrusted with the Puranas and historical records. So Prabhupada is giving him a proper reference that, okay, in the Shruti Mantra is also the same thing is being said, that Atharva Veda was entrusted to Angira Rishi. And then, text 23, all these learned scholars, in their turn, rendered their entrusted Vedas unto the many disciples, grand disciples and great-grand disciples. And thus the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. Basically, one Veda divided into four, each Veda had a particular authority, a particular professor, so to speak. And then the development of those Vedas, based on what has been said by the Lord, but it was passed in memory and in a spoken form, was supposed to be written and compiled. So then each disciple of Vyasadeva had many disciples and grand disciples and great-grand disciples. And each one of them helped the Guru in constructing the Vedas again. So they were in disciplic succession, so it was not that they wrote it on their own, something, whatever they felt. And you know, we don't need to follow it because it was written by a human being. No. They were all pure devotees of the Lord. They were in disciplic succession. So they exactly put down everything that was spoken by Lord Sri Krishna on the Vedas. Right? The Vedas came in ether song. So everything is there. The Vedas are perfect. So Prabhupada is writing down. The original source of knowledge is the Vedas. There are no branches of knowledge, either mundane or transcendental, which do not belong to the original text of the Vedas. They have simply been developed into different branches. It was just branched out so that instead of it becomes more easy to access. They were originally rendered by great respectable and learned professors like Paila Rishi, Jaimini, Vamsipayana, Sumantumani Angira, and Romaharshana Sutta. Sorry, not Sutta, Romaharshana. In other words, the Vedic knowledge broken into different branches by different disciplic successions has been distributed all over the world. No one therefore can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Alright. Then, text 24. Thus the great sage Vyasadeva, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so that maybe they might be assimilated by less intellectual men. So it was divided and it was edited so that people and according to time, place and circumstances, right? So it is not that somebody, Vyasadeva put his own meaning over him. Vyasadeva is himself an incarnation of Lord Shri Krishna. So nothing wrong is going to come from Vyasadeva, right? So this is how, so we have to understand the Vedas are supreme, even though they were written down, but they are supreme. Right? And Prabhupada writes that somewhere in the middle of the purport, the ultimate goal of Vedic knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This personality is very rarely understood by those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance. In the Satyuga, everyone is situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually, the mode of goodness declined during the Treta and Dwapara Yugas. And, sorry, just one word. And the general mass of people became corrupt. We are all understanding and seeing this thing around us. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil. And so, for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage Sri Vyasadeva divided the Vedas in various ways so that they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. It is explained in the next shloka as follows. So basically, we are not qualified. Prabhupada has written this thing down. So therefore, we must follow. Right? It's telling mode of goodness is almost nil. That is written for us. It's not that it is there in the non-devotees, mode of goodness. No, we are also in that same category. We don't know what is devotional service properly. Right? So we are not qualified. We need somebody qualified to teach us. Now, we have so many qualified teachers coming to Seattle and teaching us, and Harivilas Prabhu himself is there. But in spite of all that, we still don't get it. That is our condition. So, we must engage in the process of devotional service more deeply, with more vigor, instead of losing heart and thinking, oh, this is too tough for me. You must realize, okay, I need to do more work because I'm a backbencher. I have to do more work. Next 25. Out of compassion, the great sage thought it wise that this would enable men to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Thus he compiled a great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women, laborers and friends of the twice born. So here is again that compassion mood is still going on. He is not doing it so that Vyasadeva is known and he written in, we read about him and we talk about him. That's not his theme. That's not what is driving him. He is doing it because so that people can achieve the goal of life. Okay, how can I make it easy? You know, sometimes the children cannot digest food. They have a stomach upset. So, we make khichdi for them. We make rice and yogurt for them. We do that, you know, so that they can digest the food and get the nutrition. So, Vyasadeva is also doing that for us. You know, he's making it simpler for us to understand so that we can take the essence and move forward. Right? So, here it is said that he compiled a great historical narration called the Mahabharata for women laborers and friends of the twice born. So now, women laborers, women shudras, vijabandhus are all considered in the same category. We don't underscore the sanskaras. Now again, the question will come, oh, why are men considered more intelligent than women? We have answered that question in the Celebrating True Womanhood course, and you can look at sakisanga.blogspot.com for the blog. But one thing we have to understand now, when shudra is being said or woman is being said, it means the entire population. Men are not exempt from it. Also, everyone is shudra in this world. Now, doesn't mean we go and tell the men, oh, you're shudra. We are not here to, again, that becomes a very materialistic mentality of, okay, I'm higher than you. But you have to understand that everyone is struggling with the modes of material nature. Everyone has lost the power of discrimination and we all need to get back home, back to Godhead. So we have to take association of Srimad Bhagavatam and make that progress instead of getting stuck in why are women being called out over here. Next 25, we'll read the last, okay, let's read the first two paragraphs. I want to tell two stories related to that. The first two paragraphs are about the Garbhadhan Sanskar. A lot of us were not aware of that before we had children, so please don't lose heart. Please engage nicely in the process of devotional service and things will work out for you. But there is a particular Garbhadhan Sanskar. The procreation of the child is not a so-called act of love or an act of lust or an act of, consummation of marriage or some sexual thing. Previously, the men and women, even the husband and wife, did not interact with each other in a sexual way because they wanted to keep their own purity of mind intact. because they were focused on the Lord, they knew that they want to have children also who are focused on the Lord. So if they engaged in this pleasure-giving activity, just like that, then even at the time of conception, they may not have the right consciousness, because since they are used to pleasure, they will think about pleasure while they are conceiving the child. In the previous times, men and women, even if they are husband and wife, they did not maintain much physical contact. The Brahminical people did not do that. Otherwise, they will get used to that physical contact. And when they are having a child also, they will think about pleasure only and then not think about Krishna. Now one may say, so this Garbhadhan Samskara is very, very important. People follow the different rules, and we have also, Prabhupada has made the rules very simple for us. And he said we all must chant 50 rounds before the act of conception. Now, please don't lose heart, because some of us came to Krishna consciousness after we had children. Now, please don't lose heart that, oh no, this and that. No, Krishna will help us if we take shelter of Him properly and if we serve Him properly in the right mode. Now, one may think that, okay, you know, we are doing devotional service, so it does not matter if we are able to think about Krishna at that time or not. Now, I was hearing very powerful two stories, and I thought I'll share it with all of you women, so that when your children grow up, you can educate them properly. And even while you are raising your children, you can understand the importance of this message. So, we all know how Hiranyakashipu was born. Hiranyakashipu was born from two very nice people. And who were they?
Kashyap and Diti.
Diti and? Yeah, Kashyap Muni and Diti. So Diti
was the daughter. I mean, they were, Kashyap Muni was a sage. And Diti was also a nice lady. They did a lot of pious activities together. But because Diti, when she saw that her sister already had children, and her friends were having children, so then she, for her it became a prestige issue. So I also want to have a child. You need to give me a son, she asked her husband. And then she was so eager to unite with her husband that she did not care about the right time. So she united at a time that was not auspicious. And Kashyapa Muni, initially he told her, this is not the right time, he tried to pacify her. But then because her form was very beautiful, he also missed the point at that time. So then the son Hiranyakashipu was born. Two very pious people. They did a lot of austerities, lot of vratas, lot of this, lot of that. But at the time of conception, the consciousness of Diti was prestige. And the consciousness of Kashyapa was, he was attracted in a sensual way. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranya symbolizes prestige and Kashipu symbolizes, of course, soft pillows and soft weddings, but also Kashyapa's consciousness of being lusty at that time. We have a son called Hiranyakashipu born, who is the terror in the universe, who has no devotional, no nothing, no proper quality at all, and he is born from such parents. But one may ask, how come Hiranyakashipu had a childlike color marriage? That story nobody has heard, or maybe some of you have heard, but I heard this very interesting story. So Hiranyakashipu's brother, elder brother, was Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyaksha used to go and meditate in the forest. So when Hiranyakashipu became very big, he also went for the first time to meditate with Hiranyaksha in the forest, through austerities, so that they could get some powers. So when Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha both went to the forest to do austerities to get some power, the demigods became very bewildered. They were like, oh God, you know, these two do this austerity properly and they get proper. They do it, then we have to give them the result, and then that will be only demoniac, because their consciousness is not right, so they will not use the things that they get properly. So the demigods were thinking, when Narad Muni and I don't remember another Muni was there, they said, don't worry, we'll take care of them. So when Hiranyakashipu was meditating under a tree, he was performing his austerities under a tree, Narad Muni and this other rishi, they took the form of birds. And they went and stood on sat on the branch of the tree right on top of Hiranyakashipu. And they started chanting the names of Lord Vishnu, Om Namo Narayana. I think that was that mantra or something. Some mantra, names of Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu was deeply in his austerity, deeply in that meditation. So his meditation broke. He got very angry. Then he just started moving his body and slapping his hands so that the birds could go away. Well, Hiranyakashipu is a huge man. Everyone is scared of him. He moves his hand, everyone is scared, gets scared and run away. But these two birds, what they did, they just flew around a little bit, then they went to an even higher branch. And when the top of their voices, they are chanting the names of the Lord. Hiranyakashipu got very angry, he got very disturbed. Took out a sword, tried to kill the birds, and the birds went away. So Hiranyakashipu went home. He was feeling terrible that he had heard the name of Lord Vishnu. He wanted to get out that, for him it was a contamination, he wanted to get it out from his mind. So the way he wanted to get out from his mind is by, okay, you know, engage in some sense gratification. So he started drinking some wine, he started watching the dance, started doing some things like that. But somehow he was not able to get that thought from his mind, the sight of the birds and the name of the Lord from his mind. And he was very irritated. It's like for a devotee, sometimes a Bollywood song comes into the mind and he was like, get it out, let me engage in devotional service. So Hiranyakashipu wanted to get the name of the Lord out from his mind, so he was engaging in sense gratification. Intelligent, he knows what will weed what out. So then he said, okay, let me enjoy with my wife. So he was enjoying with his wife. But at the time of when he was enjoying and when he was giving, you know, transferring the semen to his wife's body, at that time, he could remember the word, the birds who were pure devotees of the Lord, and he could remember the name of the Lord. Not because he wanted to, but it was so stuck in his head. And therefore, a great son like Prahlad Maharaj was born. So this does not matter what devotional service you are doing. It depends upon what is your consciousness at the time of conception. So it's very important. Now, if that is at the time of conception, some of us missed the chance because we were not aware. So now, it's a very big responsibility on us to raise our children properly in the proper consciousness. For that, we have to be in good consciousness all the time. Because even if we are not teaching a lot of things to our children, they are picking us a lot of things from us subconsciously. So we have to be very careful. So we read this last paragraph. The less intelligent classes of men, namely women, shudras and unqualified sons of the higher caste, no? So some of them may be sons of brahmanas, but they don't have the qualities of brahman, so they're not considered brahman, they're considered dvijabandhu, friends of dharma, are devoid of necessary qualifications to understand the purpose of the transcendental Veda. So some of us cannot understand. So therefore the Mahabharata is there. The purpose of the Mahabharata is to administer the purpose of the Vedas, and therefore within this Mahabharata, the summary Veda of the Bhagavad Gita is placed. The less intelligent are more interested in stories than in philosophy. And therefore the philosophy of the Vedas in the form of Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord Sri Krishna. And also, all Krishna Katha is there in Mahabharata. Right? So people have this tendency to know more, to, you know, hear about gossip and all these things. So, but then that tendency is dovetailed into reading, and you read Mahabharata and the Lord's pastimes, it helps. So philosophy and Lord Sri Krishna are both in the transcendental plane, and therefore they collaborated in doing good to the fallen souls of this age. The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. It is the first book of spiritual values as the Upanishads are. Right? And you all must read Bhagavad Gita. The Vedanta philosophy is a subject matter for study by the spiritual graduates. Only a postgraduate spiritual student can enter into the spiritual or devotional service of the Lord. It is a great science, and the great professor is the Lord himself in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And persons who are empowered by him can initiate others in transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, they have to follow in his footsteps. Next verse, verse 26. The thrice-born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied. Although, just 1 minute, I have some message on Skype. Okay, no problem, Shweta. Go ahead. Yeah, the thrice-born Brahmanas, still his mind was not satisfied. Although he engaged himself in working for the total welfare of all people, so you'll have many philanthropists who will do a lot of things to engage in the welfare of other people, but they will still experience emptiness. So we will end here today. The next few verses, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33, they all point out to this particular emptiness that we feel in our lives, that Vyasadeva was feeling. He was feeling, in spite of done everything, we are still feeling a certain kind of emptiness in our in his life, right? So we also feel a certain kind of emptiness. And we all have the same problem that each soul in this material world faces, is alienation. So all souls that are trapped in matter feel dissatisfied, lonely and empty because all of us are separated from Krishna. And when we perform activities in the material realm, from shopping to intoxication, to humanitarian activities, to nationalism, Aam Aadmi Party, but they are simply, what are they? Conditioned souls attempts to relieve that emptiness, that alienation we feel in our hearts. But then none of these activities go to the heart of that matter and really address the emptiness that we feel. The only thing that can relieve the conditioned souls of their sense of alienation is to re-establish the relationship with Lord Sri Krishna. No activity with a big capital N-O can, you know, relieve anything. Even if you're writing big spiritual masterpieces, but if you're not delivering Lord Sri Krishna in his pastime, you will not feel that satisfaction. So, the assignment for next week is to think about the emptiness that we all feel in our hearts and how we want to overcome it. And what are the different methods that we are engaging right now in to overcome it? Right? You have to see, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this to fill up my emptiness. And we all are doing, I'm also doing. Right? And with that loneliness of the heart, that emptiness which we're filling with so many things, but we should remind ourselves with the verse in Shikshastakam. Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvan Govinda Virahename. Right? In your separation, O Govinda, every moment seems to be like 12 years or more. Right? Yugaitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvan Govinda Virahename. So because of separation with you, the entire world seems like a void. Now we all experience the void. We try to fill up the void. You have to come to this point. Even if we don't have realization of this point, but at least you have to accept what the acharyas are telling us. And the example of Vyasadeva, or even the Shikshastakam verse, that this void can be only filled by the holy name of Lord Sri Krishna and the service of Lord Sri Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any discussion, any points anyone would like to share? Any thoughts, any realizations that you all have had? Please go ahead.